Welcome to the podcast of The Mission, a spirit-filled multicultural church. If you would like more information about The Mission or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallife.org.
We've got a lot of way through to Matthew chapter 3. We've got a big, big, big surprise announcement today.
Woo!
Oh, that was whack.
Woo!
Big announcement today. Y'all excited? Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. The Word of God says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Yeah. And Father, we thank you and we trust that you will bless the reading of your word and you'll bless the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. We're still in our bedrock series. We're about to finish it up here. We're talking about kind of the foundation of our faith, the foundation of this house, the foundation of what we believe where God is taking us so that we can build upon it with the gifts of the Holy Spirit as we come into our next series. We're going to kind of get into that. But we want to lay a nice, strong foundation so it doesn't get weird or get washed away when the storm comes. Amen?
Amen.
That's kind of our goal, because it's our goal as a house that you would operate in wonderful things, that you wouldn't be destroyed in the midst of it. There's been so many moves of God in this particular area that for one reason or another were unsustainable. And I don't exactly know why. I don't have great insight into that. I don't have any accusation against anybody. I can't point my finger at anything. But I do know that if you don't build upon a solid enough foundation, things fall over.
Yeah.
Yes?
Amen.
If your faith is built upon a man, not a good foundation. Because men will fail you. Women will fail you. People will fail you. Your church brothers and sisters will fail you. You will get offended. That's kind of part of the promise. You will be offended. And if your faith is built upon a person, or even, hear me, a person's gifting, it will fail at some point. The Bible even tells us prophecies will cease. Teaching, they'll cease. All these things at some point will not work. But there's certain things that we can build our lives upon that no matter what comes, I mean, we may be hurt, we may be emotionally affected, we may be down, maybe somewhat discouraged, but we won't fall. And it's kind of our goal that's what we build here, something that transcends this church, something that transcends me and my life and my gifting, something that transcends even you, that we start something here that's bigger than us.
Amen.
That's our goal. And we've kind of been on a journey. Kind of following the cloud and the fire, as it were, as we establish this thing. Sometimes groping in the dark, sometimes seeing very clearly where we're going. And so, at the very beginning of my message today, I want to make kind of a big announcement. That's not as big as it sounds, but it's fairly big. I'll just put it out there. Starting next week, we are changing the name of this church. Put up the graphic if you would. From starting next week, we're going to be Revival Life Church. So what does that mean? Not much, really, to be honest with you. We're going to, a lot of work for me, but changing things. But we're not turning. We're not changing directions. We're not changing who we are. What we're really doing is recognizing who we are supposed to be and what God calls us. And I kind of want to talk about that a little bit. My wife and I, we worked hard praying in this thing and with some of the elders in my life, really seeking Jesus. We're not changing for the sake of change. We're not changing because the old name was a bad name and so we want to start over again. We're not starting this name for marketing or for any other purpose. Then this is the word of the Lord for this house. We just want to follow the word of the Lord. It doesn't make sense in the natural because we're actually, you know, people getting to know us. They're starting to know about us. They're starting to know about the mission, and people have heard of us, and now we're starting all over again. So in the natural, it doesn't really make sense. But again, we want to follow the word of the Lord for this house.
Amen.
So I just wanted my wife to be up here while I said that. You can sit down, I guess. Give it up for my wife. That's a good looking lady right there. That's not the loop that we're... Glory to Jesus. Oh. Everybody say, oh. Yes. John the Baptist showed up on the scene, and John had a message. John had a very clear message, and his message was not follow me. John came with a message pointing to Jesus and pointing to what Jesus would do. John was very clear in what he came to establish, and it wasn't something built upon his name, his gifting, or his even particular anointing. I want to kind of talk about where we're at now and where we came from. Is that okay? I got some pictures. Y'all like picture time? Y'all like story time? Is it story time here for a minute? Is that all right? I have two pieces of paper in my bag. Hold on. Okay, so we started, as y'all have heard so many times in the past. Oh, there you go. That's what I need. We started this wonderful ministry as an outreach. And we started with an outreach, and we called it, we didn't know what to call it, as a matter of fact. So we know we wanted to do something, and it was in the summer. We wanted to reach some young people, and we didn't want to establish a church. We wanted to just go out and reach people, kind of like how the old, like from England and Spain, they would just send people over, and they would just start a mission somewhere. And they would say, okay, we're just going to go establish the kingdom where it wasn't before, and we're not doing a whole bunch of stuff. So we decided we'll just call it the mission. You put up the first slide there, if you would. And this was our outreach foyer. You can't see the dude over there in the corner, but we just called it the mission. And here's our big message. Ready? Get the Holy Ghost fire. You like that? We had free tape-ups. That's who we were trying to reach. Come early. Alex will leave. I don't know if he's here today, but Alex will leave and did some haircuts and freshen up people cuts, and people came and the Holy Ghost fell, and a whole bunch of people got saved and radically touched. And we had, this is really funny, we had some people show up who came to prove that we were fake, which is kind of funny. We had a carload of people show up to prove that what we were faking. And the Holy Ghost fell upon them at the altar, and they were screaming out to God for mercy, which is kind of funny to me. So basically, we preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost touched people, and they fell on the ground and began to shake and rattle and roll. And that's kind of a pattern that we would see in the future, as a matter of fact. And so we did that, and then eventually we moved to have kind of a weekly meeting in my house on Friday nights. And we just did that for a while, and it just kind of started to grow. And the Holy Ghost began to talk to me about maybe taking it outside of my house. So we outgrew my house, and we had all the sound equipment. All of our storage was in my living room. So I have another picture here of our very first preview service. And that's us carrying all of our gear down the steps of my condo into an Enterprise rent-a-van. See, Sergio here, you can't quite see the locks that he had back then. He's carrying a little bin here of sound equipment, and there's me carrying brooms and mops because the place was disgusting where we're meeting. And that's Brian right there, and Kevin carrying the soundboard. That's like how we started. And every Friday night, they would show up at my house, and we would get all the stuff, and we'd put it in a van, and we'd set it up, and then we'd put it back in the van, and we'd have to carry it up the steps to my house, and we'd be there forever. We'd have like spades tournaments after service, just because we didn't know what to do, you know? And so we met at different places. We met at Pompeii Park. Anybody know where Pompeii Park is, downtown Delaware? Yeah. Glory. We met there every week, and just the Lord continued to add, and the vision began to grow. So here's what we do. I Sergio would lead worship. Yeah, take care of it there, Ron. Get him. Regulate. I love Ron. Anyway, so Sergio would sing, and I would preach. Show me the next slide. I would preach, and then people would fall on the ground and get touched by the Holy Ghost. That was our plan. Sergio, you sing until the anointing comes. I will preach until I'm run out of things to talk about. You'll have an altar call, and people get touched by the Holy Ghost. So there we are in this little room in Pompeii Park, and people on the ground and praying for people, and just that was the beginning right there. That was the beginning, and it just kind of continued to grow. And like John the Baptist, John the Baptist had a message, and for me, I really felt like a John the Baptist call. Just a call for revival, a call for getting people touched by the Holy Ghost. And my idea was, once people get in contact with Jesus, their life will be changed, and they'll go off and fulfill God's purpose. Amen. Yeah? Amen. They'll get touched by the Holy Ghost, and they'll go off, and they'll just walk in God's purpose. So my goal was to get the anointing in a room, and get people in a room where the anointing is. People get touched by the anointing, they go off, and their life are changed. Yeah. Sounds like a wonderful plan, right? I had no idea that people need more than just a touch of the Holy Ghost. I did not know. I did not know that people needed a teaching on how to stop being the person they used to be. I did not know. I didn't understand that. I didn't know. I didn't value the pastoral anointing, the pastoral gifting, the pastoral office. I didn't get it. But we just kept doing this thing, and then people would add people. God would add people to us, and we just would continue to grow. And so we were in Pompey Park for a while, and kind of outgrew that. And so we found Quezon United Methodist Church. Got a picture of that for me? And so we started meeting at Quezon. Who remembers the Quezon meetings?
Yeah.
Now, we didn't actually meet in this part of Quezon. No, we met in the back room over here. We weren't in this part. We were in the fellowship hall. And every Friday night, we would come there, and we would meet in the AC. Let me tell you, the air conditioner. Who remembers the air conditioner? The air conditioner would come on until you could hang meat. It was so cold. And then it would shut off until you would start sweating. And then once you were sweating, it would kick on again. And now you'd be sweaty and freezing, which is not a real good health situation. Eventually, we learned how to pry open that box, and when it would get cold, we'd turn it off, and when it would get hot, we'd turn it back on, and we started self-regulating, operating under grace, as we like to call it. And so we had services there for a while, and Sergio would come, and he would sing until the glory would come, and I would preach until I run out of things to say, and then I would have an altar call. Next slide, please. And people would come, and they would get touched by the Holy Ghost, and they would get absolutely rocked. And there's Sergio just leading worship, rocking the Jordan or the Nike Airs here with the long. Who remembers the long jean shorts? Who remembers rocking those? Some of y'all still wear them. It's out. I don't know if y'all. It ain't in no more. I know you paid a lot. You got a lot of them, but that's not it anymore. Okay. But anyways, that's us. Just rocking with Camille. We're still singing then. Diane was on the worship team. Yeah. Rocket, she was the Lillian before Lillian was. I don't know what that means. But and then so Sergio would sing, next slide, and I would preach, and we would have altar calls, and people would come, and people would come to the altar, and they'd get touched by the Holy Ghost, and they would bawl, and people would come quickly, and people would leave quickly. People would come and get rocked by the Holy Ghost, and then we'd never see them. They would come there, and the Lord told me, I'm supposed to be here, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, gotcha. And then we never see him again. You know, this was kind of a pattern. And so, after a while, you know, the Lord started doing something in our heart. And we just started really loving people. See, we were like John the Baptist at the beginning. We just loved God. Yeah. And weren't as concerned about people. We love God, and we want Him to get His inheritance. We want people to get touched by revival, touched by the fire of the Holy Ghost, touched by the Spirit, and eventually we want those people to stick around and grow in Christ.
Yeah.
You see, coming up, my favorite preachers were like Charles Finney and the preachers from the Cane Ridge Revival, and these guys who would just show up in a town and turn the entire town upside down with the glory of God. And I would pray, and I would fast, and I would get in God's presence, and I just believed there would be a time that He would use me, that I would preach in a room where people who never encountered Him before, and the glory would come into the room and touch people, and they would be infused with the presence of God, and they would be connected to the power of God, and they would just be able to go on and affect the world with the glory. That's just what I believe. That's just what I prayed for since I first got saved. And I didn't know anybody who operated in that anointing. And I was in a little church world that didn't really believe. Well, I don't want to say didn't believe, but didn't operate in that. That wasn't their paradigm. It wasn't even a goal. But I knew that Jesus was alive, and the Holy Ghost was a burning fire. And He just so wanted to affect people. And that He would anoint me if I cried out enough. He would anoint me to touch people with the presence and power of God. And I just would cry out. And then I would start having these meetings, and this fire would come. And it was just, it was everything I wanted and that I cried out for. And yet still I was like, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. You see, I believe that there's a spirit realm, and I believe that there's a God, and I believe in the angels and the miracles, and I believe in stuff that I don't even tell you I believe in because it's just weird. And I just believe in this stuff, and I've experienced much of it, and I've seen even more. I've seen and experienced more than I understand. You know, and I believe that's how it's supposed to be. I believe we're supposed to see things in God and try to figure out what was that? Because he's not really an easily understood God in His fullness. And I've just seen more, and I just knew that there was more. And it's always been my heart to, they kind of say like, the earth is like this, and we're here, and God's there, even though the earth is round. But we're here, God is there, and somehow through prayer we bridge that gap in our spirit. Yes. I want to see God bridge that gap in this realm.
Yeah.
The natural realm. I'm really excited when you see God in your mind's eye. I'm excited about that. In your spirit, I want to see Him touch people in their flesh through healing. I want to see people touch. I want to see God touch a city in the flesh through the deliverance of poverty. I want to see God affect a city through like the educational system getting better. I want to see a place where orphans aren't. It's not possible to be an orphan in a city. I want a place where, like, the foster care system is almost non-existent. Because there's people lining up to take care of the sick and the hurting. I want to see the kingdom of God established in people's lives. And what I would see is people would have these amazing spiritual experiences, yet it seemed that God never really bridged the gap into the natural realm. And so for years, people had such a heart for what God wanted. What they said is, God is for the poor. Amen? Yes. God is for the hurting. Yes. And so what they would say is, it's God's will that we feed them and build them hospitals. Yes. I believe it's more of God's desire that they don't need hospitals or feeding programs. Because He's neither hungry nor sick. And so we had this tension to manage. Okay, I'm preaching revival, but at the same point, I'm not seeing people live in revival. It was my heart to, God let me just do that. He let me preach myself hoarse. He let me preach myself exhausted. He let me preach till I had nothing left to give and I would have to be in bed for a day and a half exhausted from giving everything I had, and people would get touched and yet still their lives would change. Literally, He was like, okay, you have this anointing. What are you going to do with it? And I would say, here's how I'm preaching. He's like, okay, let me know when you're done. When you come to the end of that, let me know. And then we'll talk. And I didn't recognize that's what He was doing. You see, early in my walk, the Lord spoke a very prophetic word. And I'm going to talk a lot about myself today, and I joke about that, but I want to tell you how we got here. The Lord's given me a vision for this house. I'm going to let you know how we got to this place that we're at and this thing that I'm trying to lead. So give me a little grace today, and next week we'll move on, okay? Is that good? Don't be offended, please. Early in my walk, I was only saved less than a year. I was in a church that didn't have a whole lot of manifestation of the Spirit. And a prophet came, and he called me out of the service. And I was really, really hungry for direction from God. I was about to graduate college. I've been saved less than a year. And I knew that God wanted to use me, but I didn't know what that meant. I saw what the pastors on staff were doing, and I knew that wasn't my call. So I assumed I wasn't called to be a pastor, but I wanted to know what He wanted me to do. And this guy called me out, and he gave me this word, and I didn't understand the word fully. And as a matter of fact, there's parts of that word I did not understand for a dozen years. It wasn't until like 2 years ago that I understood part of this message. It was really a cornerstone of who I am. But what he told me was, a couple of things that really stuck with me. He said, you're going to have a lot of friends who say, we're going to go do this for God. And you'll say, I'll go with you. And the Lord says, they can go, you can't, I'm saving you for me. And that didn't make a lot of sense to me at the time. It didn't make a whole lot of sense. He told me, the mantle of God will come upon you, and you'll try to tell people that I'm walking weird because of the mantle. And the Lord's like, no, it's not the mantle. That's you. You need to learn to carry the mantle without looking weird. This is the word the man gave me. I didn't realize what that meant for years. And so I knew that I was called. I knew God wanted to use me. I didn't understand what it meant. And what I've come to understand is I don't really get to pick my journey. And if you're here today and you're wondering why God hasn't answered some of your prayers, it's possible you're praying for things that are outside His will, and His will is better. Amen. Now listen, if you're going through divorce or there's sickness, the word's clear on those things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about not losing your home. I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about that. That's clear. The will of God in those situations are very clear from the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not talking about diverting from that. I'm talking about, where am I supposed to live? What is my ministry supposed to be? When would I come into this? When will my business come to fruition? I'm here to tell you. Your plans, you might be off. And that's why God loves you so much, He hasn't answered those prayers yet. He's got something better. And for years, the Lord let me preach myself tired because He had something better for me. And so as I was screaming revival and I was screaming these things and the glory was coming and I saw people slowly being raised up, I, 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 we're, we're, early in our church, I laid hands on some people, and you know, they hit the ground, and they came back to me a week later, and they started telling me the craziest stuff you ever heard. Like, you had tea with Moses. Bro, no, you didn't. I know that sounds wonderful. You say, how do you know they didn't have tea with Moses? There was no anointing on it when they told me. At some point, you got to believe. If you got a pastor, you don't have a pastor, the Spirit bears witness, and we submit these things, and it just like no.
Yeah.
You did what? No.
Yeah.
That was interesting, but no. And so I started my very first teaching series. Anybody remember what that was?
Equipping the saints. Equipping the saints.
Christian living. Yes. We had a theme song. Anybody remember the theme song? Christian living ain't easy, but it feel good. We began teaching people. This is how you walk with Jesus. And if you walk with Jesus, he'll anoint you for his purposes. You with me here? I haven't lost you yet, have I? So, as we began to grow, a couple other prophetic words began to really resonate in my heart. Here's really funny. Has ever happened to anybody? I got a prophetic word from Patricia King. She called me out of a meeting, and she prophesied something over me. And Sean Smith prophesied the second half of that meeting, that word to me like 2 years later. It was like he finished the sentence that she started 2 years earlier. That's prophetic people right there. Prophetic people are weird. They're just odd. You know? I got a prophetic friend in Texas, and he emails me prophetic words sometimes. Not email. He texts them to me. And I'll just be sitting there, and he'll say, "The Lord says." Well, I'm like, dude, can we get a what's up? Can I get a how you doing today? Hey, this is Brad. Just want to see how you're doing. I think I got a word for you. No, just, "And the Lord says in this season." Amen, brother. How are you? But he's a prophet, you know. He gets, you know, he has liberty, and so they kind of bookended each other. Trish King gave me a very detailed word about being a revivalist, which excited me. You know, Second Great Awakening, Carter, you know, just these great revivalists. And then Sean Smith kind of bookended it, and he said, "You're going to establish communities of revival." I was like, establishing communities? I'm an itinerant. I just preach and leave. Preach and leave. Let the pastor clean up the mess. A great disservice is done to the body when prophets don't have a relationship with the house they're prophesying into. Because their words are never held accountable. There's people who's I gave prophetic words to 3-4 years ago that I'm pastoring now. And I'm still looking at them like, man, I might have really missed it on that one. How do I deal with that? There has to be accountability for your prophetic word. There has to be, you said this, and here's what happened. Who missed it?
Yeah.
And why? The prophet needs to be held accountable. You got to be accountable, held accountable to the word you received.
Yeah.
We got to be walking this thing out together. And when the guy, you know, blows in, blows up, and blows out, that's not what God had intended. Read the letters of Paul to these churches, and he's calling Timothy his son, and he's talking about the people that he baptized in that town, and he's talking about, when I was there with you, this is how I taught you, and I'm hearing what's going on there. There was relationship.
Yeah.
Not just some, you know, God's man of power for the hour comes in, and we give him all our money, and he leaves. It's this, I don't see that in Scripture. You with me?
Yeah.
But I didn't see this in the beginning, and as I'm pastoring a church, and people want to come and fleece my flock, you know, and leave, and I'm just like, that didn't feel real good. What's wrong here? I'm missing it. And so, as I'm meditating on these words that I have received over the years, I'm trying to, okay, I know God has called me to bring revival into people's lives, but I also know that he's called me to establish a community of revival. What happens? At the same time, I'm leading a group of people whose goal is just to get people touched by the Holy Ghost. And something was out of whack. I'm following God, though. I'm not in rebellion, not in sin, not, you know, outside of his will, not trying to establish something out of the flesh. We're genuinely trying to follow him. Amen? Genuinely trying to follow him. And the people are growing, and the church just starts to change. It just starts to change. And so the Lord tells us, hey, it's time to move to Sunday mornings. And I'm like, but that's a church, Lord. We're not a church. Churches meet on Sunday morning. He goes, yeah. It's like, good Lord. So I say to my wife, you think we should change the name? She's like, no, Sunday morning's enough. That's good. All right. And so, you got your next slide there. And so we move over to Orchard View. Man, that was... Talk about upgrade. That was an upgrade. from where we came from. That was, it was so nice to meet there. And we just started having a Sunday morning service, and people came, and all they knew about us was just a Sunday morning church. They didn't know this, you know, hey, we're going to whatever and whatever. And what the Lord had showed me was, there's seasons in your walk. There's seasons in your walk, and early in your walk, you'll often see, you might catch this, might not. Early in your walk, you'll often see a great manifestation of the Spirit in your life. Like you prayed for people that got saved, or maybe you came to a gifting and it was blown up, and you thought, any moment now, I'm going to be in ministry.
Yeah.
I know I've been saved like 2 months, but look at all that's happening. I'll just probably be on staff in like 3 weeks. I don't know. Any moment now, pastor's going to call me and tell me, I think it's time for you to come on staff. And you're like, this is amazing. I might get preaching gigs all over the world. I might clear out hospitals because... Does that happen to anybody? Is it just me or is that, yeah, that happens. And then 6 months later, you're like, am I still saved? Sometimes I want to say, no, come back, you know. But I believe often the Lord does an outpouring early in our walk. I believe it's a seed.
Yeah.
He gives us a seed. And if we'll allow that thing to die, okay, Lord, I remember you did that. I'm not going to do that in my own strength. I will allow that to die, trusting that you will bring it back to life.
Amen.
The Bible says that Abraham, in Hebrews, I believe, it says that Abraham placed Isaac on the altar knowing that God was able to resurrect him.
Wow.
So I know that God is able to bring that back to life. I give it to you as a seed. And you know, when you plant a seed in the ground, you know, you get the same kind of fruit, but the fruit is not always identical. You see the story that they cloned that dog? You see it in the Sentinel? They talk about it today. They cloned that dog. And the dog that they cloned looks nothing like the original dog. I mean, it's still a brown dog. But, you know, it doesn't look the same. It's not the same. You plant a seed in the ground. Doesn't mean, you know, if I pick a seed from a 4-foot plant and I put it in the ground, it's not necessarily going to be 4 feet.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a little different.
Yeah.
That's how things work. And so you get this manifestation early in your walk. And you plant that thing in the ground. And you trust God. You say, I'm just going to stay here until you give me other directions. People say, you know, well, pastor, think about doing this, and I don't know if I should do that. I was like, well, what's the last thing the Lord told you? What's the last thing he told you? Well, he told me to do this. Then why are you doing something else? I mean, you just got bored with what God told you to do?
Come on.
I just think I'll do that instead. That's why you're confused.
Yeah.
And so I counsel people. You don't think I come up with the Lord say? Well, God told me that I'm supposed to whatever, and I'm like, well, do that. All the time, God told me I'm supposed to be here, and you're supposed to disciple me, and I'm like, well, I doubt that the Lord told you what I'm supposed to do, but, you know, be here, yes, and just, you know, God will raise you up, and 3 weeks later, you know, because I haven't spent 15 hours a week with them, well, I believe the Lord is moving me. Isn't that convenient? But God wasn't really sure what he wanted 3 weeks ago when you came and talked, huh? You know, what's the last thing God said to you? What's the last thing God said? And we just keep doing what God tells us to do, regardless of the fruit.
Amen.
Regardless of what we see in the natural. I am doing what God told me to do. You know, there was this prophet, and he kept prophesying and telling people what God was saying. And for years and years and years and years, saw absolutely no fruit from it. His name was Jeremiah.
Yeah.
And he just stayed faithful. And I think it worked out for him.
Yeah.
Because we're still quoting it as the word of the Lord. And in this day and age, I've seen people who are able to flash up quickly in the anointing because we're in an age that the anointing is so thick and so strong and so accessible. And there's so many people with such a strong gift of impartation. There's people who can operate in gifting very quickly. But they're like those people who the seed falls upon the rock and it sprouts up quickly. But because there's no deep root, it burns out.
Yeah.
In this very church, we saw people come into just amazing relationships with Jesus and just dynamic anointings. And a year later, they're not even living for God. They're living lives that lost people are like, oh, they're gross, you know? How do you go? How do you go from I'm in the presence of Jesus regularly to I am just defiling people? And how? You got no roots. The storm comes and you don't know how to withstand it. And we don't know how to just say, the Lord told me to do this and I will not be moved.
Amen.
I'm not going to be moved by the enemy. I'm not going to be moved by the words of my friends. I'm not going to be moved by my family. I'm not going to be moved by the circumstances. I'm not going to let the finances dictate what I'm doing. I am obeying the voice of God.
Amen. Good word.
I mean, this is where we got to get. This is called Christianity. This is what the Bible talks about. We got to get to a place where I don't know why I'm supposed to be here, but I know I'm supposed to be here, and I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
I trust Jesus because I know His voice. I will not be moved. And so we just follow Jesus. I'm just trying to follow Jesus. Just try to do what He told us to do. And as we just try to, you know, as I just try to disciple people and see things, lives change, I say, man, we're just changing. People need to be pastor. People, there's more to this gospel than I thought. There's more than just coming to contact with, you know, and I, you know, I look at the disciples and Jesus was pretty one-on-one with them for 3 years. Live with them for 3 years. That's, imagine living with Jesus for 3 years. What does that look like? How you might change. That might do something, right? And then He's like, you know, I'm going to leave. But you know what I'll do? I'll fill you with My Spirit. That way I'll still be with you. And since they knew Him so well, they were able to recognize the Spirit talking. Yeah?
Yeah.
Anyway. So we met on Sunday mornings. And we just started being a church. We just got a word. We just started being the church. Just, you know, we helped poor people and went on mission trips. Like that picture. Went to Nicaragua. And, well, that's not it. Here's what we do. We would preach. Sergio would sing. I would preach. People would fall on the ground. That was the last slide. That was just what we did. And so we began the church, and we went to Nicaragua, and we did mission trips, and we support missionaries and send money to people. That was our last night in Nicaragua last week. We worshiped so hard the last night we were there, they were taking pictures of us.
Yeah.
Like, where did you get a cell phone from? In the middle, on the third floor, there's only trees. There's no concrete. Where did I have a cell phone? They're taking videos of us worshiping it the last night. We were exhausted. I was standing on the side. I was spent. But and so, you know, we kind of went on, and it turned my heart turned, and I believe we're in a new season. As I've been saying, the Lord's been talking to me that revival is not an event, and He said it to me over and over again. Revival is not an event. It has always been my goal that people be able to live in revival, to be walking revival. You know, we have a multi-site vision here. The vision is that we have church on Sunday, and you are the multi-site. And everywhere you go, the church is.
Amen.
Can I come to your church? Absolutely. How about at lunch? Well, I don't. No, at lunch. We'll go lunch, and I'll be the church, and you'll get baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah,
just do that,
on.
Right? I can heal you. Right, I'm working right now, but I have lunch in about 45 minutes, and you come to my church, and you'll get healed. Where's your church? I don't know. McDonald's? Where do you want to go? Right? We're supposed to be the church. Sunday morning is not an outreach. This isn't the outreach. This is equipping saints for the work of the ministry time. The outreach is you. Reaching out. Yes? This is not an evangelistic crusade on Sunday morning for us. We get people saved. But that's not, just because the presence of God is here. Am I rambling? Y'all good? Y'all following along? Are we together? So real quickly, Revival Life Church. We're going to live in, just people who just believe that you can live in revival. That's the goal. I want to live in revival. I want to be walking, loving, living revival. This is what John the Baptist preached. Look, I baptize you with water, but He's coming after me. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. In Mark chapter 2, I'll talk about this to the intercessors. Jesus told the disciples, look, you don't put new wine in old wineskins, because the wineskin will burst and you'll destroy both the wineskin and the wine. We have a lot of people preaching the new wine, not enough people preaching the new wineskin. There's some people, I was putting new wine in old wineskin and people were exploding. Their lives were being destroyed and they were losing the anointing. They had no ability to function in this new wine. I believe as a church, it's our goal to reach out and teach people how to be that new wineskin, because the Bible tells us if you prepare your house and you seek the Lord, He will fill it. Amen. The new wine's on His end.
Woo.
The new wineskin's on our end. He doesn't say, go find some new wine and I'll give you a new wineskin.
That's right.
Wow.
He didn't say, say, go seek the new wineskin. Go seek for it really hard. Seek the new wineskin. And you know, no. He doesn't say seek the new wine and I'll bring a new wineskin to put it in. We are the wineskin. And the more we prepare this wineskin, he'll fill it with new wine. It's God's desire to fill you with new wine. It's his desire to fill you with new wine. The Lord, now this is going to sound flat out strange. I'm just going to say it. The Lord told me, I woke up yesterday, and he said, anybody here into horse racing? I didn't think so. I'm not either. He spoke to me, and he said, seek a prophetic sign in the winner of the Preakness. Now, of course, the Preakness is one of the three races for the Triple Crown. Y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. Okay, the Preakness is the name of a horse race. Horses race. And the one who gets to the finish line first is the winner, all right? People bet on that and make money. Most lose, but that's it. And so the Lord said to me, the winner of the Preakness will be a prophetic sign. God doesn't talk to me like that. I have no idea. I was just like, that was odd. Random. And so I was like, is the Preakness even coming up? Does anybody know when the Preakness is? It was yesterday. I didn't know that. I didn't know when the race was. And so I'm looking at it, and so I'm like, okay, let me figure out this thing. Let me search the road. The race was today. What do you know? You knew who the winner was? Anybody know?
No. I'll have another.
Have another. And then have another drink. Have another. All right, I'll have another. You know, bartender, may I have another? And what I believe the Lord was speaking through that is, we're supposed to seek more of this new wine. I want more of his anointing. I want a fresh drink. I want a fresh wine. I want a fresh outpouring. I want more. Don't get me wrong. I'm still seeking the new wine. But I'm also seeking the new wineskin to put it in. Jesus wants to fill. Tracy had a word for this, for her operation in this. You know, when I went to ministry, she's like, I don't understand how I fit in your ministry. And I know we're supposed to be married. You know, because I said I do, so that means that's it, you know? So like, I don't know if I'm to be married to them. Are you married already? Yes. Then yes. That's it. That question was answered. I don't know, maybe the Lord has someone else for me. No. That's it. Woo! See the ring? No, that's your wife right there. That's it. Bam. End of story. And he'll transform whatever it is right there. And so my wife had a desire. I want to just travel the world, preach a revival, and leave and whatever. She's like, I just want to create a place. I just want to create a house so people can come in and be transformed. I want to create a place that God can just come and dwell. That's what it was, right? I want to create a place that God just can come and dwell. I'm like, well, that's, have fun with that. You know, I'm just going to travel the world. Let me know how that works out. I'll be in Africa. And so the Lord has really showed me, you know, if this house, if we just create a place that it's safe to encounter God, that it's just safe to figure out your gifting, safe to mess up, safe to stumble and be around people who will be like, that's a stumble. I know you felt like, no, that's a stumble right there. Let's work this out together. Just a place that we can just, from the beginning, we say, we're not going to gossip about one another. We're not going to slander. We're not allowed to judge each other. We're just not allowed to do that. We're not going to have subcultures and cliques that think they're better than us. We're just not doing that in this church. That's not who, there's us and the devil. Those are the only cliques. There's not us and then them other churches. Okay? It's not us and them the stupid laws. It's not us, you know, the leaders and those who are not. But no, that's not it. No. There's us and then there's the devil. And he's the enemy and we're on the same team. Now, some of the lost out there don't recognize they're on our team. It's our job to let them know they're supposed to be on our team. You know, we're having the draft today and you've been picked. Get on the team. Yes. In this house, we're no longer just the mission. We're not out there just to touch people with the anointing. We want to create a place that the Holy Ghost can move and people can live in lives of revival. That's the goal. I'm going to run through a couple scriptures and I'll let you go. All right? Good? All right. Right here. Here's how I was talking to you in preacher school. You ready? Give a shout to God.
Hallelujah!
Anyway, so... It's true. Why did I do that? Give a shout to God. Okay, I'm never going to drink that. Just tell me you want to drink, bro. I've been talking. I get it. It's okay. I'm thirsty too. So when I came to this revelation, can I just talk like that? Is that right? Excuse me. So as I came to this revelation that God wanted to establish a church here, I never, ever received a word, a prophetic word, about leading a church. I was leading a church, and I'd never received a prophetic word about leading a church. I got words about the mission, I got words about the move, I got words about revival, never got a word. And so finally, I resigned myself, Lord, I'm leading a church, you know. And so I went to Voice of the Apostles. I think I saw Dara. Did I see you there? So I went to Voice of the Apostles, and Cheon, anybody know Cheon?
Yeah.
Cheon called me out personally for this. No, he did. I wish he did, but he didn't. But his assistant, his worship leader, prayed for me. And he gave me you ever have a prophet pray for you, and it's like really long?
Yeah.
And it's like 7, 8 minutes, 9 minutes, 10 minutes. You're like, dude, my knees are starting to hurt. No, can I sit down for the rest of this? You gotta let me know. You know, I gotta go to the bathroom, you know? So he gives me this word that's really long. But it was anointed, and it was spot on. And he's prophesying over my church. He's talking about, you're going to lead a church that does this, and the leaders of the city will be in your church, and business leaders will be in your church, and your church will be known. And when we started this, we said, we're not going to have children's ministry. Like, we're not trying to do children's ministry. Remember that? We're not having children's ministry. We're looking for more rooms in children's ministry now. We're like, move over there, we can have more children's ministry. This is awesome. He's like, the anointing's going to be on your children's ministry and your children, and they're going to be known for that, and leaders will be there, and you'll be known. He hears what he says. And your church will be known for the families that are there.
Amen.
When we started, there was like Sergio and Camille. That was all the couples. It was Tracy and I. We were married. But Sergio and Camille. And that was it. There was no couples at all. Just nothing. And then he's like, you're going to be known for the families. It was the first time I got a prophetic word about actually leading a church after I obeyed God in doing it. So I just want to give you real quick just three things that we're going to be established on. Just three things. Just it's not everything. It's not exhaustive. But I just want to talk about it. John the Baptist came preaching to whoever would hear him that Jesus will fill you with the Holy Ghost and you'll have power. I don't want to talk about what we or won't be, but I will say this. I believe that there are not two classes of Christians. There's not the super ones and then us. Yeah. Paul even mocked it. He said, I'm not like those super apostles. Yeah. You know, I'm just me. And I worked among you. I didn't just beg off you here. God has shown me how important the scriptures are. You know how I fell in love with the Bible? I grew up in a church that didn't value the Bible at all. They believed that the Bible was possibly outdated, that there was greater, you know, just there was more. I went to a Patricia King meeting. And she mentioned the Bible one time. Anybody know who she is?
Yeah.
She mentioned the Bible one time, and I just fell in love with the Bible. I don't know why. It's got an impartation for a love of the Word of God. Now, her critics would say that she doesn't believe the Bible. I don't believe that. But I know her, I love her. I don't follow her a lot, but I just got this love of the Word. And the more I love the Word, the Word began to speak to me.
Amen.
Why did God give us the Bible? I believe that He spoke to these holy apostles, and it's not only written by apostles, obviously the New Testament, but He said, I'm pouring out my Spirit, and I'm going to give you all some guidelines so you don't go falling off the path. This is just kind of like, I'm going to give you three sticks in a row, so when you go way out there, you know if you're still lined up or not. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He didn't say, this is all you got. He's not saying this is all there is. But I'll give you some guidelines. And let me tell you why. Two things real quick. Let me tell you why this is so important in what I'm talking about. Jesus wants to anoint you. Say me.
Me.
Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus wants to anoint you. With the Holy Ghost. Not just the super preacher. Why is that so revolutionary? Let me tell you. There's no special people. Okay, when you get into this theology that I got to get around the special person to get revelation, all of a sudden, you take a scripture that says there's no mediator between Christ and man, and you put the super anointed person in there.
Wow.
All of a sudden, you've been cut off from Christ.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of preacher idolatry based on giftings, and we just reject that. Okay, but when people don't just embrace the main and plain teachings of the Bible, okay, when Paul talked about something, and it's specifically what he's talking about, that's what he's talking about. Okay, he's not talking about when he says, you know, I went to a river, he meant he went to a river. He's not allegorizing the scriptures. I don't have time to get into that. But what happens is when you don't believe the main and plain teachings of the Bible, ingenuity replaces the divine message. Ingenuity replaces. What happens is, now, the most anointed preacher is the one who can think of the most creative interpretation for the word. The problem with that is the source is man, not God. Does this make sense? And you hear people preach stuff, you're like, wow, that's so... I never saw that, because it's not in there. And this is what I saw in the beginning. You know, I'm having tea with Moses. I'm like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. You had tea with Moses? I guess, but you didn't. That is not what... God is not... No, that's not what happened. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The anointing will always point back to the Word. It'll be based on the Word. It'll be through the Word. God will tell you how to apply the Word to your life. He is not trying to replace the Word with a person. Whoops, the Word has just fallen. But I restore it in the name of Jesus. That's a prophetic sign. No, it's not. I just dropped it. Does this make sense? Ingenuity replaces the divine message. God, Jesus Christ is the centrality, not who can think of the most clever stuff. You with me, right? And number two, it limits, you with me? It limits exposition to a privileged few. So if we're all based on this guy's revelation of what this word means, we all got to go through that guy to find out what the Bible means. When Jesus said the Holy Spirit would teach us everything we need to know. There are laws to interpreting the scripture. And it's called hermeneutics. And it's you're going to interpret any written word at all. You study the laws of communication is what hermeneutics is. And you can study the Bible. And you know, words mean something. When I say Bible, you know what I'm talking about? Bible, because we don't get to make up what Bible means. I don't get to make up what Sunday is. Why don't you come to my church on Sunday? I went Tuesday. Well, I believe Sunday means Tuesday. Well, you'd be wrong. But people do that in the scriptures all the time. I believe that this means that. Yes, but you'd be wrong. We tell that to the lost. I believe I can get to God however I want, but you'd be wrong. Right? Y'all with me on this? So, 2 Peter 1:20, he says,
you'd be wrong.
He says, no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means God will illuminate Scripture, but we don't get to replace it with people.
Amen.
Y'all with me? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. When the Spirit of the Lord comes, you don't need people more. I'm sweating up here. Y'all sweating? Are we good? Man, I'm working. Number two, people of the anointing. We need the presence and power of God in our lives. Let me run through some scriptures with you real quick. In Leviticus 6:13, he said that the fire shall be kept burning on the altars continually. Luke 10:2 and 3 says, and he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Luke 10:9, you ready? Heal the sick. Tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Acts 1, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Matthew chapter 10, he tells us, proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons. You receive without pay, give without pay. In Mark 16, he said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whoever believes and is baptized, he will not... Whoever believes to be baptized will be saved, but whoever does not will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those that believe. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents in their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He's not talking about the super pastor. He's not talking about the super evangelist. He's not talking about the super revival. He's not talking about that dude with the funny YouTube videos. He's not talking about that guy over there in the other church that I'm going to go visit and have him touch me. He's talking about you, the believers, the church of Jesus Christ, those who have received salvation, those who have yielded their lives to the Holy Ghost, those who cry out to God, look, I'm changing my wineskin. Give me new wine. Let me function in the power of God. Let me function in the presence of God. Let your spirit come and touch me.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. 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 Let me tell you what's going to happen in this church. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hear the Spirit. I see it. I see a youth ministry on fire. Listen, the Lord is going to be igniting. It's never His desire to disqualify you from the anointing. It's His desire to qualify you to change the world. The boundaries of God are not there to keep you away from the anointing. The boundaries of God are to keep you in the anointing, in God's purpose. There is a wave that is coming to this house. There is a wave that is coming, and I just see it manifesting in the children of this house. I think it's no coincidence that we're working on beginning our youth ministry right now. We're starting like the next month or so. The Lord is going to ignite that. You see this? Jesus, I'm being overwhelmed right now. Forgive me. I just see it. You. I want you to see it in your life, what the anointing will look like in your life. I want you to see it in your life, what it looks like when you're not dependent on a man to see God. When you're not dependent, but you go to be empowered, to be a house of empowerment. Third thing, we're going to love people. We're just going to love people. Founded on truth, operating in power, loving people. Loving people, loving people. Loving people. Loving people. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand your feet. Hallelujah. I went long.